Name number 489 is Simha. This already occurred at name 202. Simha means lion. It's a well-known word. There are several words in Sanskrit for lion. Simha is probably the best known, most often occurring. Like most of the names, it is understood differently or given different meanings by the commentators. The most obvious meaning maybe is Nrisimha. Simha is short for the Supreme Lord who appeared in the form of partial man and partial lion. Parashara Bhatta, he gives the meaning here. He's giving meanings to these names in this section of Vishnu Sahasranamas. The Lord who punishes those who try to harm his devotees. So that's a feature of the Lord's protecting his devotees. Specifically, he punishes those who try to cause him harm. So, and another one of the acharyas describes Simha means the most powerful. Mriganam cha mrigendro, mrigendo ham, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Among the animals, I'm the king of the animals. That's understood to be the lion. There may be more powerful animals, possibly, in the Vedic literature. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find described the Sharabha. That's also one of the names of the Lord given here. very powerful creature. Well, man is more powerful, not directly physically, but by his intelligence. He can create weapons which can kill the lion. But conventionally it's understood, lion. Lion means most powerful, and therefore most capable of protecting the devotees. Even, and specifically in this section of Vishnu Sahasranama, there's repeated reference by the commentators to Yamaraj and the servants of Yamaraj, whose duty is to punish sinful people. But it's not their duty to punish a Vaishnava. That is outside their duty. So if they even think of it, well, if they try to. What happened? If they even think of punishing, then they themselves become afraid, just even at the thought. Radha Krishna Shastri gives the, he is like the lion who gets rid of the asuras, chases them away. Satyadev Vashishta, he's one of the commentators, and he always gives, for practically every name, he gives less obvious or rather unconventional understandings. Simha means a lion. It's very simple and straightforward. But Satyadeva Vashishta will find some obscure meaning. It's not that it's wrong or it's incorrect, but it's you could say it's a display of his Sanskrit abilities, which come from Krishna himself. So he's using those abilities in the service of Krishna. So he interprets this to mean Simha is the one who gives the results of everyone's activities, karma phala, material activities. He gives that to everyone impartially. Also, he gives another explanation that Bhagavan, being of infinite power, of course, a material lion doesn't have infinite power. But Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, has infinite power. He takes the way of life, the life of everything, in due course of time, including those who live for a very long time, the Manvantaras, all the, even within the huge structure of time, the Kalpas, the Mahakalpas. It also, it's true for everyone. Nasate vidyate bhavo na bhava vidyate sataha. That which is material must come to an end. So that's true of everyone. And Vishnu, as the Simha, he sees that everyone has to die eventually. The best of all beings, or distinguished, that's another meaning. Just like the example given here is a great medical doctor who may be called Vaidya Kesari. Kesari is another name for lion, for kesh, you know the word kesh means hair. So due to his mane, he's called Kesari. Kesari or Kesari, can be either. So a great doctor is called Vaidya Kesari. Vaidya means a doctor. Actually means one who knows the Vedas, but he knows Ayurveda. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known among his disciples as Acharya Kesari. That title was also given by the disciples of one of his disciples, namely Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. That they also called him Acharya Kesari. So it means one who's very distinguished above all in his field, may be called Kesari. So that again, Bhagavan shows the significance as the lion. Anyway, I discussed that in quite some detail previously. We can go on to the next name. Name 490 is Bhuta Maheshwara. This name comes in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna himself refers to himself as Bhuta Maheshwara. I'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Bhuta means the living beings. Sarva Bhuteshu. We find in Bhagavad Gita this word. All living beings, that comes several times. and Maheshwara means the great controller. So he's the great controller of all living beings. Baladev Vidyabhushan. He gives the meaning here as the supreme monarch. Maheshwara can also refer to a king, to a mundane king. Of course, a king is never considered fully mundane. He's considered a representative of the Supreme Lord, but a king in this world may be called Maheshwara. But Baladev Vidyabhushan points out that Krishna is the supreme monarch, and he further describes that by saying that he is the supreme monarch who completely controls Yama and his followers. So we see the acharyas in this series of names, in this section of Vishnu Sahasranama, they repeatedly refer to Yamaraj, how Yamaraj appears to be the controller of all living beings. That's what the Yamadutas thought before they tried to take away Ajamila. And they returned unsuccessful, rather frustrated, to Yamaraj and said that, well, we thought you were the boss in the universe here. And Yamaraj said, no, you thought like that, but you were wrong. Narayan is the supreme lord of all living beings, not me. So that's especially stressed here by Baladeva Vidyabhushana. Parashara Bhatta also makes the point that demigods like Yamaraj, Brahma, and others, they're immensely, immensely powerful. They have jurisdiction over vast planets and huge numbers of people. But they also are under the control, or they are lorded over, they are ruled by Mahesh, the great controller. So okay, we know Brahma himself says, Ishvara Parama Krishna. That also happened, we find in the second canto of Bhagavatam is described, that Narada approached Brahma with a similar question. Well, it seems that you are the Supreme. I don't see anyone in the universe superior to you. You seem to be the Supreme, but I also see you meditating. So that means you're meditating on a higher person or principle. And then Brahma, he said, yeah, actually, you're right. Narayana is Supreme, not myself. So, those who are the lords of others, he is the lord of them. And this meaning is the meaning of the next few names that will come up. They all have their names which all have similar meanings. Bhuta Maheshwara, Adideva, Mahadeva, and Devesha. All these names, they're almost synonyms of each other. And the last name in this verse, Devabrit Guruhu. That also gives a similar but meaning. It means he's the guru or the leader of all the demigods. Which is quite something, if you see, the demigods are so powerful. But they're like flies before Vishnu. It may seem they are as powerful, just like we have the three murti, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and it may seem they're almost as powerful as each other. But actually, Krishna, when he comes to this world, he only generally only shows a little bit of his opulence. He doesn't need to display all his opulence to do whatever he has to do in this world. He doesn't have to show all his power. So he shows a little, but he makes it clear that he is the source of all power. A certain Sri Vaishnav commentator says that Vishnu should, by all these names, we should understand that we should not make the mistake of equating Vishnu with other gods, which is very common in what goes by the name of Hinduism. You think, well, they're all the same. And even you can make up one or two or more along the way. Sai Baba is very popular in India today. There was the fuzzy hair Sai Baba, who became the wheelchair Sai Baba, who became the dead Sai Baba. He's not so popular nowadays, but the Shirdi Sai Baba, immensely popular. That's really nonsense. Even to worship demigods, Vedic gods, gods which are extolled in the Vedic literature, that's not very good, but it's some kind of start. But to worship Sai Baba is just complete, 100% unadulterated, maha nonsense. But even if we worship the demigods, we don't, but even those who do, they should understand that Krishna is by far superior. This point comes up again and again in the next, in the commentaries on the next few verses. So the various quotations are given from Shastra. They all have more or less the same purport, that he, Narayana, is the father and lord of all living beings, including Brahma, Rudra, the various rishis, the gods, and everything else in the worlds. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Avajananti Mahamudha Manushin Tanamashritam Param Bhava Majananto Mamabhuta Maheshwara. So this name comes in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna describes himself. He says that persons who are foolish, they do not properly know me. They may know him to some extent. They may say, well, Krishna is the son of Devaki. which is not incorrect. But they don't properly know him. And thus they ascribe to Krishna mundane qualities. Say, Krishna is the son of Devaki. So I'm the son of giving his mother's name. So it's all the same. You see, we're all the same. Maybe Krishna's a little more distinguished than myself. But you see, there's some foolish Indians at one point, they thought that this Krishna, who after all wasn't very well behaved, they identified him with a tribal god, and then they made him the Vishnu of the Vedas. This is a common so-called scholarly conception that is floating around. So here, Maheshwara means the great lord, and Bhuta Maheshwara means the great lord of all living beings. Maha means great, and Ishwara means the controller. So he's the controller of all living beings, which naturally includes all the demigods. So he's very mercifully comes into this world, and he doesn't just boss us around, hey, I'm the Maheshwara, I'm the Supreme Lord, you just do what I say. But he tries to induce everyone to voluntarily forswear their sense of independence from Krishna. But many don't, because they are murha, they don't know him properly, because they're concerned with sense gratification, their intelligence becomes covered. So even though Krishna comes, he's not seen. People may see him, but unless they understand him as the Supreme Lord, they don't properly understand him at all. Okay, the next name, going through them a little quickly here. Adi Deva. Now, Adi means the beginning, original, or it can mean before everything else existed, and Deva means, it literally means one who is shining, one who is effulgent, and that word is generally used to refer to the various demigods. They're known as devas. Thus we have Indra Dev, Brahma Dev, Chandra Dev, and Krishna maybe also be called Krishna Dev. There's a famous king in South India, Krishna Deva Rai. Govinda Dev, deity who's now in Jaipur, is usually referred to as Govinda Deva. Maybe called Govinda, but referred to as Govinda Deva. So this name may be understood as Adi Deva, may be understood as Adi, who is the original, and Deva, who is effulgent. But generally it's understood that Adi Deva, the original shining one. The demigods are also shining, they're also effulgent. Anyone who is a devotee of Krishna becomes effulgent. That effulgence is the effulgence of the soul. Krishna is the supreme soul. So he's so much effulgent. So maybe understood like that. He's the first deva. He's before all the other gods, he was there. It can also mean the foremost. He's number one. Among the demigods. Number one means chronologically he existed before all of them, and it also may mean number one, more like Maheshwara, that he's the top, the most powerful, the one under whose direction all the demigods are working. We know from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvang pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. So in this verse, Krishna states that he is the origin of everything, which means Adi. And Adi Deva means he was there before all the gods. And Adir Adir Govinda. He was there before all the gods. All the gods came later. When we say all the gods, that sounds very Hinduish. Yes, we believe in all the gods, but I'm using it in the sense of all gods that people tend to worship except Narayana, because he is in a separate category. That's why the name Adi Deva is there. He's not the same as all the others. People say they're all the same, but no, Krishna is different. He was there before all the demigods. So I'm reading from the purport to this verse by Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 8, very important verse. And from Srila Prabhupada's purport, establishing that Vishnu, Narayana, is there before the universe and before the Brahmas and the Shivas. They're not all the same. Here's the origin of them all. Srila Prabhupada writes, all Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. So that means Adi Deva, he's the source of them all. In the Atharva Veda, specifically from the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedans Chagapayati Smakrishnaha. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, the Narayana Upanishad, in the very first verse, says, Atapurusho havai Narayano, kameyata praja shujiyeti. Then the Upanishad continues, and it gives a lot of Sanskrit, the translation from Narayana, Brahma is born. You may think, well, they're all the same, but Brahma is born from Narayana. From Narayana, the patriarchs are also born. That means the 10 powerful persons, not necessarily 10, all the Prajapatis, those who on behalf of the Supreme Lord, they're able to, in the wombs of their wife, deposit seed that may give birth to many, many other living beings. So from Narayana, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. Thus, Srila Prabhupada writes, this Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putraha, the son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is in the fourth verse, or in other words, very early in the Narayana Upanishad. So he's the origin of everything. When he says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada, I'm the origin of everything, we understand it in a general way. And as Adi Deva, we understand it in a more expanded way. Just shortly after this verse, Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada, Arjuna declared the glories of Krishna to Krishna. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vipum. So among all these names that he describes Krishna by, one of them is Adi Deva. There are many gods, but Krishna is the origin of them all, which means that he's superior to them all also. The names will come up now. We had Bhuta Maheshwara, then we'll be having Mahadeva, then Devesha. These names are all names for Vishnu. They establish his glories. Bhagavan is the first deity that we may worship different demigods or different deities. We should know that original is Vishnu or Krishna. Satyadeva Vishishto, he gives He gives the meaning that not always thing to be at the beginning, but at the end. If he's at the beginning, he's at the end also. So Satyadeva Vishishta, he breaks up the Sanskrit somehow or other and comes up with the understanding that Adideva is he who swallows up the worlds at the time of Pralaya. We'll all be swallowed up. We'll all have to enter the vast womb of Narayana, unless we become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. So he swallows the whole worlds and everyone within them. Everything enters into him. And again, apart from those who enter into his pure devotional service. We find often in the Bhagavatam, this name is mentioned to mostly in prayers by devotees to Krishna. You are the origin of everything. Sometimes in Bhagavatam, this name is used to refer to Brahma, because he's the original demigod who can be seen in this world. Krishna is generally not seen. Brahma, here on this planet, we don't see him. But the demigods, they have access to him. So he appears to be the original God. He's the original creator. And no one saw anyone but him. We take it on his word. If he hadn't said Krishna is the supreme, we might have a hard time accepting that. But when Brahma says, who is worshipped throughout the universe as being the supreme, the father of all living beings, but Brahma says that above me even, there is someone who is superior, and that is Krishna. He's superior because he comes first, and he's superior. Sometimes we may see that the child is bigger and stronger than the father. Isn't it? It's quite common. But it doesn't happen in the case of Krishna. It may appear to take case. It may appear that Nanda Maharaj is stronger than Krishna, but actually it's not the case. Krishna's playing his pastimes. Adideva is also called Anantadeva, the Supreme Lord who's unlimited in pretty much all respects. So, unlimited means Adi Anta. If he's the origin of everything, he's the beginning of everything, that means everything comes from him, everything's within him. He has no origin. An Adir Adir Govinda. Everything has an origin, but he has no origin. And everything that is created has an end, but because he's the original, that means he never comes to an end. So even the great demigods, who are very powerful, they can't comprehend him fully, because we are in a different situation. We have a beginning and we have an end. We were born, we die, and it's very difficult for us to comprehend someone who neither is born nor dies. About this also, Adideva. Yeah, the one who is the first cause. Sometimes people say, well, who made God? If God is the origin of everything, who made God? And then if you say, well, actually someone else made him, then he's not God, then someone else should be the God. But then you may say, who made that person? And you go on and on and on. The creator of 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 the creator, how many times you want to say it, of God. But that's not God. If there's a creator of God, then that person becomes God. So Krishna is uncreated. He is the source of the creation, but it appears as if he's born. Actually, he's not born. And that time is beginningless is something which we can't imagine. But actually, Krishna is the Supreme Lord in all situations, however far we back back we go in the past or however far forward we go in the future, we'll find that Krishna is always supreme. It's an established fact, so we should just take note of it and act on that. Otherwise, we're doomed to remain within this material world. Sometimes there's a Brahma, sometimes there's an ant. So, this name, Adideva, that when you next hear it in Bhagavad Gita, Adideva Ajang Vibhum, you can remember this, that what does it mean? Krishna is the origin of all living beings. That's the easy, straightforward understanding. The next name is Mahadeva. Now, this name is generally connected with Lord Shiva. Har Har Mahadeva. The devotees of Lord Shiva, they call out Har Har Mahadeva. Har means Hara, is another name for Shiva. So all these names, Bhuta Maheshwara, the next name, Devesha, they mean the great God. Adideva means the great God. Mahad, of course, means great, and Deva means God. So the great God, the super soul, the overlord. There are so many different ways we can say this in English, and we can say it in many ways in Sanskrit also. So Mahadeva, that title is title for Lord Shiva, no doubt, it's not wrong to call him Mahadev, the great God, but even more accurately it refers to Krishna. It's not improper to call Shiva Mahadev, but more accurately that name belongs to Krishna, because even Shiva gets his quality of being Shiva, of being auspicious, from Krishna. This name, Mahadev, is explained by Baladev Vidyabhushan to similar to those names, that he protects the devotees from Yamaraj and others. So Baladev explains his name to mean he who relishes pastimes with his devotees, and he yearns to crush the non-devotees who would like to harm the devotees. We find there are some people who are very demoniac, and they like to make fun of or physically attack the devotees. You probably have experience of that wherever you're from. If you're from Manchester or Brno, some people, they're just, without any reason, they become inimical. The Harinam Sankirtan party is going, and they just want to stop it. They don't give any reason. No, it's not normal. They may say it's not Czech, it's not our culture, it's not Polish, it's not our culture, or whatever it may. They may give some flimsy reason. But actually they're demoniac by nature, and therefore they hate the devotees. But they will have to be punished by Yamaraj. And the followers of Vishnu, they're not to be punished by Yamaraj. All these names indicate that. Baladev, his name very strongly gives that he relishes his association with his devotees. Devotees are very eager to be with Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to see Krishna. Let me say, why don't try to see Krishna? Naturally you want to see Krishna. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna. Try to act in a way that Krishna will be pleased to see you. Krishna sees everything in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, in three phases of time. But he doesn't take any special attention of even the great people of this world if they're not Krishna conscious. One may be a very great politician or businessman or whatever, but Krishna is not concerned with such people. Krishna is concerned with his devotees. So deva can also mean a devotee. Vishnu bhakti smrito daiva. Dvo bhuto sarge loke smin daiva asura evacha. Vishnu bhakti smrito daiva asuryastad viparyaya. In this world there are two kinds of being. One is called a deva, means a godly person. Means that, and that explanation is given, they're a devotee of Vishnu. All the demigods are devotees of Vishnu. And the asuras, they're just the opposite. They don't like to be devotees of Krishna. They may be devotees of demigods. Ravana was a devotee, well, not really a great devotee, but for material benefit, he worshipped Lord Shiva. But even though Lord Shiva is known as Mahadev, we should know that the real Mahadev is Krishna, no one else. Mahadev also worships him. There is somewhat different form of the Maha Mantra, which there is a recording of Srila Prabhupada singing it, in which he sings, Brahma bole chatur mukhe Krishna Krishna hare hare Mahadeva pancha mukhe Rama Rama hare hare. Brahma chants with his four mouths Krishna Krishna hare hare. And Mahadeva, which in this context means Shiva, with his five mouths he chants Rama Rama hare hare. name Mahadev, generally, if we say Mahadev, generally everyone thinks of Lord Shiva, but we should think of it actually as ultimately as Vishnu. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are some references to Mahadeva in the original Sanskrit text. And from the commentaries of the Acharyas, they clarify that actually here it's Krishna who is meant. To call him Mahadev is not untrue. If we refer to Vishnu as Mahadev, people say, no, that's not right. Mahadev means Shiva. It's true, Mahadev means Shiva. He is a great God. Or we can say that within this world, Mahadev, Shiva, is considered to be the main God by some people. But those who actually know, they know that the greatest of all gods is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Krishna or Vishnu. So these names, they're almost the same. You can say he's the Supreme Lord, he's the greatest enjoyer, he's the God among the gods. Just like we worship the demigods because they're so much higher than us. We don't, but some people, they worship demigods. Seeing them, they're much, much higher than us. But similarly, the demigods worship Krishna because they're devotionally inclined and they see Krishna is far, far superior to us. So the demigods, they have much more intelligence than us also. So we can take it that if they're worshipping Krishna, that Krishna must be a great personality. Young Brahma, Indra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Sevai. All the great demigods, they worship Krishna. So it is proper to address him by this name. Bhuta Maheshwara is one, or just Maheshwara. There are so many names given here, just to demonstrate. He is the greatest of all the gods. Generally, people, they have that misunderstanding that Shiva is supreme. But actually, it's Vishnu, or if we want to make this a Shriva and Gaurya Vaishnav commentary, then it actually refers to Krishna. Mahadeva can also mean he also gives the meaning that the meaning of the name Mahadev is more connected to the word puja. Now, generally, when we think of puja, we think of an act of deity worship. But the basic meaning of it is to honor or respect others. So, he who is fit to be worshipped exclusively, there's only one such person, and that is Krishna. In Hinduism, practically anything or anyone can be worshipped. The scope of Hinduism goes everywhere to pure worship of what people call Hinduism. There's no actual shastric term. So it can go all the way from exclusive worship of Krishna down to worship of a pebble and all other kinds of things in between also. But that person who is fit to be worshipped to the exclusion of others, in other words, who everyone should worship, that is Krishna. People worship Durga, Durgesh, which means Shiva. They worship different demigods, but they should realize that all of that is ultimately meant for Krishna. And if we don't worship Krishna, then all our puja, all our feeling, we may put so much feeling into it, but it's all shrama eva hi kevalam. We work, we do work, we collect the ingredients for offering worship, but if we don't specifically worship Krishna, then it's all waste of time at best. Shrama eva hi kevalam. And it may lead us on the wrong path altogether. So Krishna is Mahadeva. Next time you hear the name Mahadeva, oh, I'm going to a temple of Mahadeva. Really, are you going to a Vishnu temple? No, no, a Shiva temple. But you just said, I'm going to a Mahadeva temple. So, conventionally, Mahadeva is understood to mean the Supreme Lord, and it's not incorrect because Shiva and Vishnu are in one sense the same, but still the difference is there. So here the name Mahadeva, it doesn't mean that Bhishma, who's reciting these thousand names, or Vyasadeva, who's writing it all down, is not that they all of a sudden think that, well, actually, Krishna's not supreme. The supreme is Lord Shiva. It's not that they think like that. They know that this name really refers to Krishna. Actually, all the names, if you say Indra, Chandra, Brahma, Vayu, they're all ultimately names of Vishnu, this Madhvacharya has established. Others may be Indra, Chandra, Vayu, etc. Taking power from Krishna to execute those roles, but ultimately he is above them all in every respect. He's above physically and in stature. He came before them. He's Mahadeva, Adideva. The next name is Devesha. The same meaning. Deva Isha. He's the god or the controller of the devas. So again, it's a very similar meaning. And we'll find that in Vishnu Sahasranama again and again, that names, they get repeated. Similar names are put together. And there may be some subtle difference between them. So Devesha, this name also comes in Bhagavad Gita. For Adideva, I didn't read that. In Prabhupada's purport to that, Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 8. There, for Adideva. The quoting from the Upanishad. I started to read it, then I didn't finish it. So, all Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedangs Chagapi Atisma Krishna. So, some people may say Krishna is not mentioned in the Vedas. Here it is. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge. and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, the Narayana Upanishad says, Ata purusho havai narayano kamayata prajaha srijayeti. Then the Supreme Personality, Narayan, decided to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayanad brahma jayate narayanad prajapatihi prajayate narayanad indro jayate narayanad ashto vasavo jayante narayanad ekadasha rudra jayante narayanad dvadasha adityaha. From Narayana Brahma is born, and from Narayana the patriarchs are. From Narayana, the patriarchs means the prajapati. From Narayana, Indra is born, so he's Adidev. From Narayana, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. And from Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. That's important to understand. The Vishnu Sahasranam is ultimately glorifying Krishna, showing the opulences of Narayana, and then ultimately the Supreme Lord is a cowherd boy. Even in a position even above that of that great opulence. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putraha. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then it is said, Eko va Narayana asina brahma na ishano napo nagni saumao neme dhyav aprithivi na nakshatrani na suryaha. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no water, no fire, no moon, no heaven and earth, no stars in the sky, no sun. This is from the Maha Upanishad. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, Prajapatiṃ ca rudraṃ chāpi aham eva srijāmi vai tau hi mām na vijānito mama māyā vimohitau. The patriarchs, that means the Prajapatis, Shiva and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Purana, it is also said, Narayana paro devas tasmach jatas chatur mukhaha tasmad rudro bhavet devaha sacha sarva gyanam gataha gyatam gataha. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. The name Devesh also comes in Bhagavad Gita. Adideva, again. Arjuna also addresses Krishna. Tvam Adideva Purusha Puranas Tamasya Vishvasya Parang Nidhanam Betasi Vedyang Chaparang Chadhama Tvayatatam Vishvam Anantarupa. You are the original personality of Godhead. You are the Adideva, Purusha Purana, the oldest person, specifically the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes, O limitless form. This whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. So Adideva, again, Arjuna recognizes that Krishna is Adideva. Then Devesh, it's a fairly common name in India, even today, to give children, young boys, the name Devesha. So Arjuna also, in the upon seeing this verse which I just read, is from the Arjuna after he's seen the universal form of Krishna. So also in this series of prayers he refers to Krishna as Adideva, also as Devesha. Dangstra karalani chate mokhani drishtvatva kalanala sannibhani dishona jane nalabhe cha sharma prasida Devesha Jagannivasa. So in this verse, he addresses Krishna. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. Lord of Lords, Devesha. Please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance, seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth in all directions. I am bewildered. Then again, just after that, Arjuna, his intelligence is confused, as he himself says. Again, just after that, another verse, he says, Kasmach chate na nemeran mahatman gariyase brahmano pyadikatre ananta devesha jagannivasa tvam aksharam sadasat tatparam yat. So devesha, he addresses, there are several names which come up in the Vishnu Sahasranam in this one verse. Mahatma, Adikarta, Ananta, Devesha, Jagannivasa, Akshara, Sat, Asat, Param. There are several names, maybe seven or eight names in one verse. Seven or eight names from Vishnu Sahasranam, Arjuna says. So in this verse he also refers to Krishna as Devesha. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains all these names. Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Mahatma, which means he is the most magnanimous and unlimited. No one is greater than him. All the other, the word aksharam. Here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, Devesh means that he is the controller of all demigods and is above them all. So that's fairly easy to understand from the name, exactly how it happens. Not so easy to understand. Again, in this series of verses, at verse 45, in the Arjuna prays to Krishna, Adrishta purvam hrishito smidvishtva bayena cha pravyatitam mano me tadeva me darshya deva rupam prasida devesha jagannivasa. Again he uses the word, he prays to Krishna with the name Devesha followed by Jagannivasa. So he puts these two names together, and there are many the acharyas have given, who comment on this name in Vishnu Sahasranama, they give many quotes from Shastra in which this name Devesha comes up. One of them explains, he is the very consciousness in all the gods. He is the antara, he is the paramatma within the heart even of all the demigods. So if he's the lord of all the demigods, then it's to be understood he's also the lord of everything else. The demigods are extremely powerful compared to us. The various demigods, they control the sun, the moon, the wind, the stars, the rain, the movements of the seasons, the mind, various demigods. They're very, very powerful, but they're all under Krishna. So we are under them, they are under him. This is to be understood. He is the one who assigns various jivas the post. Okay, you be Brahma, you be Chandra, you be Indra. So like this, he assigns them different posts. He's the chief executive officer of the universe. And he mostly is not, he doesn't directly oversee what goes on. He sits there, and if there's any major problem, the various managers of the universe, they oversee. And if there's any major problem, they come and bring the problem to the CEO and says, you can't manage this? Okay, I'll come and manage it myself. So he's like that. He's overseeing everything, doesn't get directly involved, but when there's some major problem, he comes. Otherwise, he's just watching and as Vishnu, and what to speak of Krishna, who's simply enjoying. As Srila Prabhupada gave that example in the Nectar of Devotion. One German scholar, he saw all the different demigods in the temples. One of them has this weapon for doing this. Someone is overseeing the moon. Someone is overseeing the sun. Someone is prayed to for freedom from disease. And Krishna's just dancing with Radha. He must be God. Why? He's not doing anything big. He's not doing anything big means he's above that. Otherwise, why are they worshipping him? Everyone has a wife or a girlfriend. So why are they worshipping Krishna? He's worshipable because he's above the platform of all the gods. When Srila Prabhupada writes the Nectar of Devotion, one German scholar, I believe he's referring to one of his god brothers who was from Germany. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning in this regard to the name Devesh. He relishes his childhood pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends and forgives the offenses that they make in play, because sometimes they may climb on his shoulder or insult him in play. But of course Krishna doesn't really forgive them because they're just playing as children. But Baladev Vidyabhushan points that out because those who are very much attached to the worship of Vishnu as the Supreme, they may get disturbed to hear of Krishna's childhood pastime. Someone is climbing on Krishna's back. You can't do that. He's God. Well, they don't know he's God. He doesn't want to be known as God in that situation. So that again shows he's above all the demigods because he doesn't have to have a godly profile all the time. He doesn't have to show, see, I'm much bigger than you. He's so comfortable in his position, he can do whatever he likes. He's not in fear of being knocked out of the post by someone else. He can play all day and night. He's so powerful, no one's going to remove him. There's no question. So, all right, and the next name, the last name in this verse, I'll speak on at midday, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.